Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
And but their preconceived expectation told them, we're going to go and bomb the Lord. That's the least we can do. To go and bomb our Jesus, because we love Him so much. I love Him so much. I appreciate Him so much. Let me go and bury Him properly. We remember where they last laid Him. We remember how He hung His head pole, Jesus. We remember seeing His body mangled. We remember seeing the blood fall. We remember seeing they whipped Him. We remember that. And so their approach is, they're serving a dead Jesus. My question to you today, who did you come to worship? Did you come to worship people? Because if you did, you got a reason to look as crazy as you look. But if you came to serve and worship a risen Savior, your attitude and your disposition will be different. When you think about that He got up for you, you sing to the glory of God. When you think about the fact that He got up for you, everything you pray is sincere. You don't care if they laugh at you. You don't care if they talk about you, because you didn't die for me. He died for me. But a lot of us, we're living like we're spending more money on funerals than we're on baptism. Why is it that families only come together when somebody dies? Because it's something about us and death as a people that then moves us like death. We love each other, and we get t-shirts, and we get masks when somebody dies. But what about when somebody has life? Do we celebrate? What about when someone gets graduated? Do we celebrate? What about when someone gets saved into God? Do you celebrate then? Churches are filled with people when somebody dies, because we love the cemetery. We love going to the graveyard. We love celebrating when people die. But God calls us to start being more geared toward life. That which is life-giving, not that which is death. Look at the believer. Look at our existence today. Only when somebody dies do we tell them we love them. I got a problem with that, because they can't hear it now. You should have told them you love them while you had a chance to tell them that you love them. May I suggest that the reason why some of us can't leave the graveyard is because the guilt before the graveyard. See, if you halfway loved them right when they were living, you wouldn't feel so bad and empty now at the graveyard. Now you're trying to pull mom and daddy out of the casket. Mom, I'm sorry, she can't hear you. Daddy, I'm sorry that he can't hear you. But you got a chance right now to get some stuff right. But because of a presumed and preconceived expectation, these sisters go to the graveyard, going with the right intentions to the wrong place. I'm going to try again. Because some of us today are going to the right, wrong place with the right mindset. You meant well, but you ain't doing well. Because you went somewhere you were not called to go. So here we go now. We got a preconceived expectation. The second thing I see now is a perplexing realization. Because now when they get to the tomb, to the grave, because scripture tells us in Mark's gospel that they have a conversation. It's just a few of us ladies. Who we gonna get to move the stone? We got the right mindset, but something blocking us still from getting to Jesus. Y'all missed it. We mean well, but if something gonna block us from getting to Jesus. So they're starting to have a discussion amongst themselves, who can we get to move the stone? They get to the grave, and the stone is moved. I'm gonna try again. They're having a conversation, asking amongst themselves, even when we get to Jesus, we won't be able to get to him because there's a stone that's covering the grave. How are we going to figure out? Because we're not strong enough to move this stone. Who can we get and find and hire to move the stone? Bible says they get up early in the morning and they get to the tomb, and that which they thought was blocking them has been moved away. Y'all ain't got it yet. That which they were worried about yesterday was already taken care of tomorrow. I'm gonna try this out. Y'all shutting down. That which they were concerned about tomorrow, worried about it today, about tomorrow, by the time they got to tomorrow, it was already moved out of the way. That's your first shout cue if you ain't catch it. That some of the stuff you worried about, the Lord has already taken care of it before you even get to it. It's moved. And I know hindsight is always 20/20. Because if I'd have been them sisters, and I know something was too big for me, something too strong for me, something too powerful for me, on my way to get to Jesus, but by the time I got to it, what was blocking me had to move. If them sisters knew what I know now, I'd be shouting all over that cemetery. But here you are thinking you got the word. That's not what resurrection is about. You worrying about how you got to fix it. What happens when you realize that God did it for you and you ain't had nothing to do with it? That's why you don't like resurrection. Because you were not there when God raised him. All you are doing is living in the proof that he's no longer there. Because some of us want to be able to brag about what we did. But by the time you get to the cemetery, I don't care how early you get there, the stone had been moved away. Watch this. They see the stone is moved. They realize the stone is moved. But now, if I was messy, I would say this. You know, women just can't stop there. Bible says they didn't just see the stone move. They went in looking for Jesus. I'm going to try again. Bible says they didn't just see that the stone had been moved. That curiosity caused them to say, what's in there? Because here it is. They can't shout because the stone has been moved. So if they can't shout that the stone's been moved, they won't appreciate that the Savior's been moved. If you can't shout off the fact that God has unblocked some stuff, you'll never know and appreciate who unblocked it. Learn how to take miracles at levels. See, you got stuff right now you can praise God for, but you won't praise him till you go in the grave and see it. But somebody, I need three people who can testify right now that there are some things that God has moved out your way. You don't see it. You don't feel it. You ain't embraced it. But the fact God done moved some stuff, watch this, watch this. God done moved some stuff and he done moved some people out of your way. He's moved some stuff and some folk out your way. Somebody ought to shout, because this time last year, you was dealing with a fool. But God moved that fool out of your way. Same job, same sickness, same money problem. I ain't got that fool no more. But when you at the cemetery, the graveyard, you can't see what God has done, because you're expecting what God did and can't see what God is doing. Look at it. He moved the stone. They went in to see. They stepped out of the light into something dark, because the grave is dark. The grave is cold. And if it was a decomposing Jesus, it doesn't smell too good. But watch this. I'm going to get in a world of trouble. Nobody made them go in there. Can somebody testify and tell the truth on Sunday morning that many things I done got myself into, it wasn't the devil? I'll give you time. I'll give you time. Some of the problems, the issues, the headaches, the heartaches, the addiction were not God taking me through a season. I stepped in it. And whether you saved or not, you get what you pay for. You can be anointed and step in some dark places. And you can't say that somebody told you to step in it. Tell the truth, my honks done stopped. My honks are ceasing. Because at the end of the day, you stepped in that. Because the way sin works, the darker it is, the better it is. Y'all don't like telling the truth. You went in there. So don't get mad about what you saw, smelled, and got on you when you went in there. Because nobody told you go to the graveyard. Now, if you really knew Jesus, you got enough evidence not to go in the grave. Because you see a stone moved. You don't need to go up in there and see what got in. Or what got out. So they realize, once they go in there, now what they came to church for is not there. They spent their money on spices and ointments and oils, all for nothing. Get in trouble, man. Some of this that you're doing, thinking God is pleased, God's word to you today is, I'm not even there. I'm not in some of them songs you're singing. I'm not in some of those good deeds you're doing. I'm not in some of this stuff you saying. I'm showing up in some of them places you going. And you want to say you're doing it in my name. Because if you knew like you're supposed to know, you'd have been buying chicken, potato salad, a cake. Why? Because it's something to celebrate. Because we got the resurrection morning. But because you don't believe that the Lord is risen, you're buying dead stuff. Because you really knew that he got up, you wouldn't buy stuff for a dead Jesus. You got a question to ask yourself. Is some of this stuff I'm doing for a dead Jesus or for a living Jesus? Because look where you went with it. The only place that can appreciate embalming is in a dead place. But if you would have bought something that would help toward his celebration, the fact that he got up, now you on track. But now they done used all they got toward something dead. Now they went to see what was dead is no longer there. So now they feel some type of way. Because we done spent all this, brought all this, and he is not here. Bible says they're sitting there confused. They're perplexed by what they realize. They are confused. They are messed up because they ready to embalm. And they're going to be able to go back to the village and tell everybody, we embalmed Jesus. Now we should go and tell people. Because the dead Jesus you're looking for is nowhere to be found. What happens when all this dead stuff you've been doing surfaces? And you get exposed for being a dead worshiper and not a living worshiper. A perplexing realization. Thanks be to God. Next, because the next thing I see, I'm out your hair in a few minutes, they see a powerful intervention. Because while they're in a dark place, the Lord sends angels to show up. What? Y'all missed it. Rather than keeping those ladies in a dark, dead place, stuck in a state of confusion, the Lord sends angels to come into the situation. Here's what you ain't gonna like. But I gotta teach it to you, but you're not gonna like it. The Lord does not send Jesus back to it. But he sends his representatives to tell you that Jesus got out of there. Y'all missed it. God will send angels who get you out of the graveyard, not just on resurrection day, but 365 and one-fourth days, God sends angels to get you out of the graveyard. But he don't put Jesus back in there. So that means, Bible says two angels show up in bright, shining garment, which means it shows their angelic disposition that they have. They look like angels, and they're saying, don't fear. He's not here. But watch this. Can you handle angels correcting you in the graveyard? Y'all don't want to hear me. They have to deal with some correction before they get the blessing, because they did not have any business in the graveyard. So God sent them with a word, asking them a simple question. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He sent angels to tell them, that's dead what y'all are doing. Ooh, y'all don't like that? Y'all don't like that, do you? But he sent angels, not to minister first, not to give you food first, but to tell you, get your you-know-what out of here. You ain't have no business going in there in the first place. Why are you looking for a risen Savior in the graveyard? Watch this. Can I ask you? Can I deal with it real quick? The angel asked them a question. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Watch this. That he says amongst the dead. So you done stepped in more than you asked for, because now you're exposing yourself to more dead stuff because you're hanging around the wrong place, the wrong people, doing the wrong stuff. Because look what he says, amongst. You looking for Jesus who's risen amongst something that's dead. Stop making something dead be risen. And stop making something risen be dead. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it is what it is. He may be fine, but he dead. She may be gorgeous, but she dead. It may pay you a lot of money, but it's dead. Only that when it's connected to the Lord is living. Why are you expecting a good relationship with somebody who's dead? They can't love God. How they gonna love you? Why? He asks a question, and watch this. They don't answer. He asks a question, they ain't answered yet. Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? They ain't said nothing yet. They down there worshiping and bowing down now because they scared. Because they know there's someplace they didn't need to be. So now the angels correct them, but then they give them a word. Remember what he said, that the Son of Man must be tried. Son of Man must die, and then on the third day get up. Remember when y'all say y'all been with him. How y'all get his miracles, but you miss his message. I don't hear so good this morning. How you want his miracles, but you never heard his message? You've been running for Jesus for a long time, but you never stopped and heard what he said. Because you can't run for him until you learn how to walk with him. I'm tired of us playing church, y'all. I'm tired of us playing like we something we ain't. We religious, but we're not spiritual. We religious, but we don't have a relationship. Because if you knew his word, some stuff you wouldn't say. If you knew his word, some stuff you wouldn't do. See, here's the problem with these ladies. They good ladies. They're not bad people. They got a bad theology. That's what some of us are. And y'all mad right now because God's supposed to just bless your works. God's supposed to just honor the fact that you're working for him. But God's worried about 10 of y'all right now, probably more, I'm just going to stop at 10, is that you've been working for me, but you have not witnessed. You go to a church you don't like. You a leader in a ministry you can't stand. You stuck in a position and don't know the word concerning your position. But he's supposed to be impressed because you working for him. What did God say last Sunday? You don't know. What God said Wednesday? You don't know. But you still working for somebody you don't know. Who gonna work on a job for 30 years and never look at the manual? We're being exposed in this season for being frauds. That's why we don't want people being saved, because those unsaved who become saved go realize we ain't really saved either. We just joined church and never joined Christ. I better not get in too much trouble. I better not get in too much. It's Resurrection Day. But in order for something to be resurrected, something got to die. And some of the stuff we doing got to die today. Anybody want to help me kill some stuff today? Some stuff got to die today. Tradition got to die. Doing it your way got to die. Doing it your bylaws got to die. I want what's living. Some of the stuff you making up is dead stuff. We ain't got to do that. That's what you want us to do. Thank God. It ain't living. It's what you've been doing. And God's word to you today is dead. How will you know if you're going somewhere living or if you're doing something dead? Is it tied into the word? It ain't deep. It ain't deep. It's not deep. But if you don't know the word, you won't know why you're doing what you're doing. And you'll only work for him long as you feel like it. when it's convenient to do it. As long as they don't make me mad. But can I help you somebody this morning? When you know God and know his word, even when they talk about you, you still can do what God has called, gifted, anointed, and appointed you to do. You think he felt like dying for my sin? No. But he still did it because it was tied into the prophetic word. I know. You gonna go tell folk what we had on. You gonna tell folk how many rolls we had. You gonna tell folk how pretty the kids were with their dresses. You gonna tell folk how good the sound was, or how bad the sound was, or the mic was messed up, or this was that, or the card was this or that, or this didn't sound this or that, or I wish she'd leave me alone. Who is he to tell me what to do? And he got on my last nerve. They peed me off, and I ain't coming back no more. And I couldn't see. I couldn't get where I wanted to get. I needed a chair. My knee hurt. My back hurt. Will you tell somebody what the Lord said? Can you tell somebody what the Lord said? Will you tell folks what the Lord said? Here they are, thinking they good workers for the Lord. In a graveyard they ain't got no business in. Thank God he saved them by sending angels to the graveyard to get them out of there, because that's not where their destiny is tied to. Because here it is, at the end of the day, if Jesus ain't there, you don't need to be. I know you don't like that, but I got to tell you, that's my job. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Remember, he told you that he's going to die, be raised up third day morning. He's going to be raised up. Now, here it is. That means that whatever they're dealing with now, he spoke about it before. I'm going to try again. I got to get done. Whatever they're experiencing now, he already spoke about it prior to them going through it. Third time might be the charm. Whatever they're dealing with right now, the fear, the darkness, the despair, the confusion, the frustration, the stink, they didn't have to be in that if they heard what he said. Lord have mercy. What am I saying to us? Most stuff we in, we don't have to be if we would just hear and apply what he said. You keep wanting people to show you mercy, but his word says show them mercy. So until you start forgiving, don't you expect somebody to forgive you? You don't get to hold a grudge and then everybody else sets you free. You want windows of heaven to open up blessings, but you want to go to the casino every day. No. Because until you know how to be a good steward, what good is that to be for you to get all that? Honk for me one time. Okay, I make sure I was just, y'all can still hear me. I'm done. When I say to you this, a preconceived expectation, a perplexing realization, a powerful intervention, thank God he sends angels to intervene, and then lastly, a prophetic recollection. I see a prophetic recollection, because verse 8 says, and they remembered. They remembered what he said. They remembered the prophetic word spoken unto them prior to them getting to this situation. Why are you so confused right now? Why you kind of feel some type of way? Because you can't recall one thing the Lord has said to you. You remember every bit of mess somebody said about you. You remember every lie told about you. But you can't remember not one word God said about you. Whose report Will you believe a prophetic recollection? Bible says when the angels got through with them, they did not, this is what church folk mess up at, they didn't say nothing about the angel. Let's think in. It's quiet all over the parking lot. The angel said something they didn't like. Angel said something they didn't care for. They didn't talk about the angel's personal life. They didn't try to expose the angel for telling them the truth. They ain't try to set up and disrespect the angel for telling them what thus saith the Lord. Angel just saying what God told the angel to say. And instead of them, what they did, I appreciate what they did. We don't do this. We get mad at the angel. We attack the messenger and don't receive the message. Because here it is. Here's what I love about prophecy. They spoke it. Bible says they remembered. So whatever it was that the angel spoke, they already knew about. They just wasn't putting into practice what they had heard prior to. And they remembered what he said. And they remembered. Y'all ain't hearing me. And they remembered what he said. Before I go into the graveyard, remember what he said. Wait a minute. I know that we're kind of heartbroken because the last time we saw him, he was dead. And Saturday is mighty quiet. Saturday, he was silent. It's the Sabbath day. We can't do anything. I just got to sit here and wait and not know the details. I got to sit here and just concern myself with how's it going to work out. All I got is what he said. And that he's going to work this thing out. He's going to get up on the third day. Is it the third day yet? Not yet. But it feels like the third day. Maybe I can just go and do something to help get him out. Maybe I need to go do one more thing. Maybe I should have cried more. Maybe I should have done. What more do I need to do? He said, sit and wait. Because on that third day, I'm going to get up. Heaven is silent and hell is rejoicing. How do you handle being silent when the devil is going crazy and you're holding on to what God said? Can I be honest and minister to somebody? You got to learn how to hold on to what God said, even though you can't see what God said. Even though you can't feel what God said, you got to hold on to what God said. You may not feel like you healed, but if he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, you got to trust the fact he's going to heal you. Oh, you may feel like that you're left alone, but he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hold on. It don't look good. It doesn't feel good. It's Friday night, and we done buried him. Oh, my God. I was okay with him dying, but they actually buried him. Burying somebody seems so final. It makes it seem so final. How can he come back from this? You should have recalled something, though. You should recall John 11. When Jesus saw Lazarus in a tomb that was sealed, Jesus already gave you a precursor of what he's getting ready to do for himself. Lazarus, come forth. Move the stone where you laid him. Move the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out bound. He said, loose him and let him go. He already showed you what he's getting ready to do. But you having so much church. You having so much church. Doing all this ministry. You ain't hearing the message. You so busy, you can't receive the word. You in the kitchen. You outdoors. You hammering and nailing stuff, and they heard the message. And what happens when you can't hammer? What happens when you can't cook? What happens when you can't usher? What happens when you can't do what you normally do? What are you going to use to hold you? For a whole year, we were stuck in a pandemic. And you could not do what you're accustomed to doing. But if you had his word, you didn't miss anything God was doing. If you had his word, you still ate, you were still protected, you still had a roof over your head and clothes on your back. Verse 9 says, I'm done. Verse 9 says, and they returned from the grave. Y'all missed it. Verse 1, they go to the grave. But thanks be to God, it took 8 verses, but they finally got away from the grave. My question to you, what's it gonna take you to come away from that graveyard? Them dead relationships, them dead friendships, that dead religion, that dead thinking, that dead conversation, that dead politics. What's it gonna take to get you from dead stuff so that you might live and embrace? Here's the difference. Verse 1, they went in to work. By verse 9, they come out to witness. Y'all ain't ready? Y'all ain't ready? Verse 1, they coming to show. Verse 9, they going out to say. Verse 1, they going in to plant. Verse 9, they going in to prophesy. If there's no change in you, you must go through the change. Because some of us may not be at the cemetery, but you got your grave clothes on. See, let me explain something to you. I'm done. Let me explain something to you. It's just like Lazarus. The Lord showed me this concerning another issue, but let me tell you this. Concerning another issue, the Lord showed me this, but let me say this to all of you. Because in John 11, Lazarus was resuscitated. And I say resuscitated because Lazarus died again. Jesus is the only one who was resurrected because he has not died since. The widow of Nain's son was resuscitated, got his breath back for a little while, but he died again. Jesus is the only one who was resurrected, got his breath back, and never died again. That ain't the shout. The shout is this. When he got Lazarus from the grave, he said something key I think we miss. Because Lazarus was resuscitated, he was alive, but he was still bound. He was alive, his heart was beating, he had the functions of his extremities, but he's bound in what, in the dead stuff. So Jesus said to the people, loose him and let him go. Because if you don't take the grave stuff off, he was just as dead. Here's what I love about it. Lazarus moves forward into chapter 12, and people, Lazarus didn't really have to say much. We never saw one word Lazarus said. He himself was the evidence of the power of the Most High God. Everywhere he showed up, people saw that's the one he raised. Y'all, I'm gonna try again. Every time he went somewhere, when the enemy tried to shut up Jesus, the proof of his power showed up and shut up the enemy. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. Sometimes all you got to do is show up and show that where I once was lost, now I'm found. I once was blind, now I see. I'm a new creature. Y'all, I'm done. Oh, I tell you what, though, I'm getting out of the graveyard. God's given us the opportunity to get out. But see, some of us like the graveyard because it gives us excuses. Uh-huh. It gives us excuses. But I'm coming out of the graveyard. I'm tired of dead stuff. If y'all ever notice me quiet, I don't even waste breath on dead stuff anymore. You ain't got nothing you want to say? That's dead. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. It's not that I don't care. I'm not going to die, and you don't want to live. But God is calling us to get out of the graveyard. You got to realize what he's already done for us. And just because you got good intentions does not mean that God is pleased with where you're going. You've got to stay in tune with what he says. Because if you can't stay in tune with what he says, you won't know where he's going. If these sisters would have simply remembered and recalled what Jesus says, they never would have wasted money, time, and energy going to a graveyard. It could have been telling the world he's alive. But they didn't tell him until after they found out and got the prophetic word. He already told you. Isn't it amazing? Come on to Jesus. But isn't it amazing that the angel didn't tell them nothing new? Y'all want all this prophetic fresh fire. They didn't tell them nothing new. It's something you've already heard. Why we keep preaching the same sermons? Because you ain't heard it yet. Until you hear it and apply it, we got to keep preaching it. Why? Because the Lord sees his children in the graveyard. And I've called you to go to the highways and the byways. I've called you to go to the mountains and to the valleys and testify of the goodness of God, and you won't leave the graveyard. But you're doing your job in the darkness. Doing your job in the dark, in the cold. Looking for a dead Jesus. Problem you got is he's risen. He's no longer there. And here's your problem. If Jesus is no longer there, what are you about to embalm? What do you do? You got your hands full and don't know what to do with what you got because you're in the wrong place with it. Come on to Jesus. Amen. Come on to Jesus. If you want to come out the graveyard today, I want to invite you to Jesus. If you're in your car, lift your hand. We'll come to you. If you're sitting out, come forward. If you're on Facebook, inbox us. If you want to come out the graveyard today, you know the Lord spoke to you. If you know the Lord spoke to you personally, so much so that you thought, I'm picking on you today, that means the Lord loves you enough to send you his word in such a way. We got to get out of this graveyard. We got to get out of this graveyard. Mess. Gossip. He say, she say. Who business? I don't care about other people's business. You got to get out of this graveyard. He's come to give us life and life more abundantly. He got up. And you ought to live like he got up. He's done his part. It's time for you and I to do our part and get up. Leave that graveyard. Leave that tradition that ain't holding on to anything. But you're afraid to leave because it's the way you've always done it. God says, I'm no longer in that. I want to do something new in you. I want to do something new for you. Got to get out of the graveyard. Who are you today? Who are you? Won't you come? He is Lord. Yes, Lord. He has risen. Won't you come? Every knee. Every tongue. That Jesus Come on, one more time. He is Lord. There is some experienced believers who need to make this commitment today. There are some who've been with the Lord a long time who need to make this recommitment and make that trek out of the graveyard. But I hear you today, and I'm praying for you because it's tough for many of us to admit that you're wrong. And we have a problem, many of us, dealing with the reality that you're wrong. And these women had to deal with the reality in the text that even though they had the best of intentions, they had to find out they were wrong. And I know that we're older and, you know, we've been with the Lord, we've been doing this longer than you've been alive. I understand all that. But at the end of the day, some of you need to deal with this realization that you're wrong. Not because Ham say so, but because the word says so. And if you love the Lord like you say you do, you will adjust yourself and respond to his word. And some of these things we've been doing out of tradition, I'm not backing down from it. Because some of these traditions were not life-giving. It's just tradition. We do it to appease you. But we got to grow to a place to please the Lord and not appease people. Today is your day. There are some seasoned saints who need to rededicate. Show us how much you really love God. You tell us about our skirt. You tell us about our earrings. You tell us about our dreadlocks. Show us your integrity today. And you know you've been wrong. Show us publicly that you're going to react and respond to God's word. Who's going to be that seasoned saint to lead us out of the graveyard? He is Lord. One more time. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen. Are there others today? Younger people, whoever, you've been in the graveyard far too long. Who are you? Respond to God's word today. You've been in the graveyard, and the only way you can get out is make a step. That Jesus is Lord. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He has risen. Yes, Lord. Every knee. Every tongue. That Jesus Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, oh God, that's come to challenge us to get out of the graveyard. Your stop, the Lord's stop by the graveyard, was only temporary. But it was never his permanent address. The grave had to give him up. There was too much life in him to hold him. And we thank you, God, that we've overcome because of that resurrection. I pray, oh God, that we experience, embrace resurrection in our own personal lives. That we rid ourselves of dead talk, dead religion, dead rituals, dead relationships, the deadness, oh God. I pray, God, your Holy Spirit will be the censor for us. And when those moments come and it shows us that which is dead, that we do the necessary work, that we might continue to give and show life. This city needs life. This community needs life. Your people need life, oh God. And everything about this day symbolizes life. Help us, oh God. Thank you for these that have come. Thank you for their love for you and their adherence and submission to your word. I pray, dear Lord, because of their faith in you, that you will bless them going out and coming in. Anoint them fresh, O God, with your Holy Spirit and presence. Show them that what they need to know concerning your walk and their walk with you. Thank you, Father, for a walk with you. Thank you for a talk with you. I pray that this day will be a resurrection day, that we start something fresh, start something new. Lord, please get us out of this graveyard. Please, oh Lord, get us out of here. It's cold. It's dark. It's dismal. It's pessimistic. It's ugly. It's vile. It's filthy. Lord, we're tired of the grave. Things get worse in the grave. It rots in the grave. It decays in the grave. Lord, get us to your freshness, away from the graveyard. Your son isn't there, Zophar. Lord, get us out of there. Thank you for the angels that you send to our lives to give us the word, to show forth your presence, to give us light to get out of that dark place. I pray that some destiny be turned around today, God. Some soul be saved. Someone change their life, God. Change their conversation. Change their company because they want to get out of the graveyard. I pray that you deliver us, oh God, from people who are hurting us and plaguing us, situations that are holding us back, the mess and the gossip that has plagued us. Lord, get us out. As you did Lazarus, God, we ask that you send people to loose us and let us go. That we don't just look alive, but we live alive. In the name of Jesus. We come against the enemy who wants to put the grave talk, the grave clothes back on us. Because who the Son has set free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord, for the freeness of this day. Thank you for the liberty of this day. Thank you for the victory of this day. Thank you, Lord. Your spirit, your word, your will, your way. Father, we want to be witnesses for you. We want to tell the world, tell our neighbor, tell our family, tell our friend about your goodness. That if you saved us, you'll save them. That way our work for you will have merit. We learn how to be good witnesses for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. To you be the glory. We receive it. We accept it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now come on, give him a praise like you out of the graveyard today. Come on, come on. Bless him like you out of it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got an assignment for us. Winfield is in the graveyard. And Winfield is looking for some people who are coming out. Can you shout loud enough that this city will hear that somebody's coming out of the graveyard? Can you glorify them loud enough? Come on, come on, come on. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, come on, break down the wall. Come on. the north, the south, the east, the west.